to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotus. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Glory, we honor, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for the mind of Christ. We thank you for a heart after you. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your sweet spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, who gives to us and guides us. We thank you, Lord, for your word, who strengthens and sustains us. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that covers us, cleanses us, connects us to you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that we belong to you and we don't belong to ourselves. We thank you that we are chosen. We thank you that we are the church. We're not trying to have church, but we are the church. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your glory that rests upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the many miracles and the things that you've done among us. Your mighty hand, that you work wondrously before us. We thank you. Now, Father, we ask that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the golden pen, divine oracles of God. Let it come from me, the golden pen of a ready writer. And let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith that brings healing, peace, power, deliverance, and prosperity to all those that hear and believe. We thank you now. We magnify your name and glorify you, for you are truth. And the words that you speak are spirit and life. Speak through me, Lord. Look over the celestial banners of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Thank you for the moment of intimacy wherefore you've kissed us and made us whole. You've spoken a word to us and given us peace. We thank you, Lord. And we were joining with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare that you are holy. We're going to look at Luke chapter number 15. For the Spirit said there's a need to discuss it. Amen. We start at verse 11, and I don't know where we'll stop. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Tell somebody, go home. Get up and go home. We see here that once the son had decided to go home, we find here that he's on his way. While he's walking, his father sees him from a great distance, and his father does not wait for him to approach him. But his father goes out and meets him. Come on and say amen. That lets us know, and what Jesus was trying to show us, is that God does not wait for you to get to him. But God will come to you wherever you are and whatever condition you're in. I don't care how stink your life is. I don't care how bad off your life has become. You need to know that it does not hinder God from coming to you. Come on and say amen. And so he said he came to him and had compassion on and ran and fell on his neck. He didn't go and walk and say, I'm going to see if that's my son. He recognized who he was. And you know one thing about God? I don't care how bad off you become. I don't care how different you become. God still recognizes you. He still identifies who you are. He knows exactly who you are, where you come from. He knows who you are. And so he comes with not judgment. The Bible said he didn't come and say, I told you not to leave. Why did you leave? But the Bible said that he came down with compassion. He came down with love. He came down and said, you know, it doesn't even matter what you smell like. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter that you've been in the hog pen. It doesn't matter that you lost everything that I gave you. It does not matter. But what matters is that you've come back. What matters is that you repented. What matters is that you turned it around. Oh, come on and say amen here. And look at this. What I love about this father is that he kissed him on the neck. Come on and say amen. He grabbed him around the neck and he kissed him. Come on and say amen. And so when he fell upon his neck, that lets us know that he didn't mind getting in close. You see, you can't push God out. Some church folks may be I can't touch him. I don't want to deal with him. Don't want nothing to do with him. Got to get away from they don't smell right. Something ain't right. Something smells fishy. I don't think so. I think something's going on. But forget those church folk. But the people who shows the Father, they're just like the Father in this subject. The Father went and had compassion, fell on his neck, and wasn't worried about anybody that said, what is he doing? He wasn't worried about it. He said that he kissed him, and not, you know, the thing about that, it shows an intimacy. God is eager to be intimate with us. God really wants us to be with him, and he wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be up close with us. He doesn't care what we look like, what we smell like, but he wants to be up close. He wants to be intimate. And look, it's one thing to hug somebody, but it's another to kiss them. Come on. It's one thing to hug them and say, you know, he got a little something on him, but I'll hug him. It's another thing when you kiss somebody that got something. Come on and say, man. And the son began to repent. The son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Now, the one thing I like about this is that the father went before the son could say anything, and already he had already hugged him. Before the son could say anything, he had already ran to meet him. The son was walking, but the father was running. That's why they say, if you take one step, then he'll do the rest. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, we need to take the steps, the proper steps to get back home. Amen. And as we try to get up and get back home, the father's already in the pathway. Amen. The father's already there waiting for us. And he kissed him, fell on his neck, and he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, it sounds just like many of us. Many times we don't feel worthy. Many times we say, you know what? I don't feel saved. I just don't feel like God. I don't feel like I'm who God said I am. I don't feel like I'm righteous. I don't feel like I can be called the saint of God. I don't feel like I can be called a child of God because I've done so much. I've been through so much. I've gotten into so much. But you know what? It doesn't matter to God what you've been through. It doesn't matter to God how much you've done. Oh, come on and say amen. It doesn't matter if you don't feel worthy. That's why Paul writes in Romans 8, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, I'm not condemned. To be condemned means to say you're unlivable. And God said, you are livable. The reason why you're livable is because I'm living in you. Oh, come on and say amen. And so what God does today, oh, come on. The devil wants you to be condemned. Amen. But God said, I don't condemn. I convict you so that you'll turn it around so I can live in you. And he said, I'm not worthy. But the father said to his servants, he didn't even answer the boy. He didn't need, come on and say amen. The father said, I ain't got time to have that discussion with you. I don't have time to go over what you've done wrong. And couldn't you see that when I came and hugged you and kissed you, I forgave you? The very fact that I'm present with you lets you know that I still love you. The very fact that I'm here, oh yeah, lets you know that I've been put that out of my mind. You see, the one thing about God is that when you approach him, he puts a whole bunch of stuff out of his mind. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, there was a man, that was a story of a man that when she prayed and she said God was speaking to her, and all people in the village, they kept saying, oh yeah, God is speaking to us. So they kept going to the lady, and she would tell them what God was saying. And so word spread all around. And so there was a Catholic bishop, and it was a Catholic community. He said, well, if she's hearing from God, ask her what God said about me, or better yet, ask her what my last confession was to God. And then so when they went to her, they said, the bishop wants you to know, wants you to ask God what he said in his last confession. The woman went in and prayed, and then she came out. She said, take me to the bishop. I'd like to tell him myself. So when she got to the bishop said, I heard that you say that you hear from God. And she said, yes, I hear from God in my prayer time. And the bishop said, well, did they tell you what I said? She said, yes, that's why I'm here. He said, well, tell me what was my last thing that I said in my last confession. And what did God say that I said? And then she said, God told me to tell you that he forgot. He didn't remember because he forgave you, because it's all over now. It's all gone. Oh, y'all don't hear me here this morning. And so whatever it was in your last confession, the last time when you sinned, God said, I don't remember. I'll cast it in the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. It's washed away. It's covered by the blood. Anybody here know that you're covered and your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. But look, he didn't even entertain the thought of discussing what the boy had done wrong. He didn't say, where's my money? He didn't say, what happened to you? Oh, look at you. You smell. Wait, I got to bathe you before I touch you. He didn't say all of that. He hugged him and kissed him and didn't discuss what went wrong. But guess what he did? He didn't ask him. He didn't say, did somebody rob you and you end up like that? He didn't say, did you waste the money? What did you do with it? He wasn't worried about the material things. But the father looked and he said to his son, servants, he said, bring forth the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet. When we look at what happened to Father, when the man repented and he returned, the Father received him. Oh, come on and say amen. And now, after the Father received him, guess what he did? He began to restore him. And so, when we look at how he restored him, we see something in detail. The Father didn't talk about how bad off the boy was, but he said, bring the best robe. He said, bring my robe and put on him. Come on and say amen. And so when he said, bring forth the best robe, he wasn't saying just go in the closet and get anything. He was saying, bring the best one. What's the best robe to wear? The best robe to wear is the robe of righteousness. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, the reason why he put a robe on him first, when we look at the robe, it means that he restored him to his position of honor. He restored him to his position of sonship. Oh, come on and say amen. The reason why it means that is because when we read in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Jacob made a coat for Joseph. Why did he give him a coat? He covered him and made him a robe because he was his favorite son, because he was a son of favor. Oh, come on and say amen. And so this man, he put a robe on his son and gave him his favor back. How many know that God will give you favor? Doesn't matter what you've been through, what you've done, how bad off you are, what it smelled like in your life, God will still give you favor. He'll restore honor upon you. Come on. He'll clothe you in righteousness. And the one thing I like about what he did was he didn't say, wait, let me bathe you to put on this robe. He didn't say, wait, jump in the lake before you put on this robe. Just with all the dirt and nasty filth that was on him, he said, put the robe on him now. And you see, the one thing about I love about God is that he's not like people. People say, well, you need to get yourself together before you go back to church. Some people say, I got to get it together, then I'm going back to church. You can't get it together anyway. If you could really get it together, then you wouldn't have needed Jesus. Oh, yeah, so since you need him, he's saying you need to come as you are. He said, come all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but I feel like I was that son. I knew I was weary, worn, and sad. I knew I had some dirt on me, but he took his robe of righteousness, didn't tell me to go bathe. He said, I'm going to put it on you because I don't want anybody else to see you like this. I don't want anybody else to smell you. I don't want anybody else to know all the stuff that's going on underneath the robe. You see, God will clothe you in righteousness. That's why you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why can I say that? Because I'm clothed in righteousness. He's wrapped me up in righteousness. So you want to see what's up under here? You can't, because he's covered me up. Anybody know God will be your cover? You see, you got to see something. The boy recovered some things. And see, when he put the robe on him, there was a process of recovery. You see, some things, when you talk about recovery, some people think about the hospital. But when I think about recovering, I think about some things like some upholstery work. I think about some time when you uncover something, and you look and say, oh, I better cover that back up. And so what happens is that he was uncovered before the Father, but the Father said, let me recover you. And so the Father recovered him. Oh, praise his name. And so God will recover you. And while he's recovering you, he begins to restore you. It's some things that you might have lost while you were out doing your thing, while you were out with your righteous living, while you were having fun, while you had all the friends in the world, while you did what you wanted to do. There were some things that you lost. You lost your integrity. You lost your righteousness. You lost your money. You lost your family and friends. Your relationship went down. But God said, here I am, and I'm coming to recover. I'm coming not only to recover, but I'm coming to restore. Oh, praise his name. And so he put on a robe, the robe of righteousness. Then he said, bring a ring and put it on his finger. What was he restoring there? He said, I'm restoring the authority. I'm restoring the commitment. You're committed to. Whenever you give somebody a ring, that means you're committed to them. That means I plan on being in your life forever. I'm giving you a promise that I'll be with you. He said, give him a ring so that he'll wear this ring. And it wasn't just any kind of ring. It was a ring of authority. It bore the signet and the sign of the family to let everybody know he belongs to this family. And so what did God do? Or better yet, what did the Father do? He restored him to the family. He said, you're not going to be a servant. The boy said, I'm satisfied just being like one of your servants. But the Father said, you're too good for that. I'm giving you a ring, and I'm going to restore your position. I'm going to give you your authority back. I'm going to show you I'm committed to making sure you get everything you need. He was putting him in a place to say that I want you to represent. I want you to represent my family. So he restored him a ring to let everybody know that he belonged somewhere, that he was a spouse to something, that he was committed to something. He said, I'm giving you a ring. But then he didn't stop at a robe. Neither did he stop at a ring. He said, I'm putting some shoes on his feet. See, what I'm trying to tell you here is that God will. He won't let you look like a slave. He won't let you look like a runaway. Oh, come on, praise his name. You see, he was a runaway. Come on and give him glory. But he came back, and the Bible says that he put shoes on his feet. Now, every time you look at pictures, mostly of slaves, I'm a history buff. I like to look at old pictures. I look at pictures of slaves, and I notice they really didn't ever have shoes on their feet unless they were in the house. Oh, come on, praise his name. And you know a slave has no shoes. And he said, you can't be a slave. I won't let you walk around here having a slave mentality. I won't let you walk around here because you might step on something that could hurt you. He said, so put some shoes on his feet. Now, what I want you to see is that he talked to his servant. He didn't say, I'm going to do it. He said, servants, you do it. Many of us are servants of God. How many of us have wrapped them up? How many of us have put rings on them? How many of us have given them shoes? In other words, you got what they need. Why don't you give it to them? Because the Father has provided it for them. Oh, praise his name. And so when I look at this, and he says shoes, he put shoes on his feet. We need to realize that the Bible says in Ephesians 6, he said that we ought to have a robe of righteousness, or better yet, a blessed plate. He also said our feet should be shod with the gospel of peace. In other words, I need your feet to be protected no matter where you walk. You got the protection from the Father. I'm protected by the gospel. I'm protected by the word that lets people know that I'm not some servant, that I'm not some slave, but I belong with my Father. I'm an heir to the throne. I'm not just anybody. I got on shoes. I'm reminded of the old preachers. They say, when I get to the river, I'm going to take off these shoes and I'll put on my golden slippers. Can I get somebody? They say, I got some shoes. Do you have any shoes? I got shoes on my feet. Why do I need shoes? Because Paul said, walk, therefore, he said, walk in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Come on and say it. Paul also says, for us to walk circumspectly, the Bible also says that we ought to walk the path of righteousness for its name's sake. Anybody here want to walk with me? Come on, the walk we do. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not get weary. I got some shoes. They shall walk and not faint. Do you have any shoes? I got some shoes. I'm no longer a slave. No longer barefoot. You know how it is. When you see children barefoot and it's cold outside, you say, man, the child need to put on some shoes. That child's going to get sick. That child can get injured. The reason why God is giving us shoes so that we don't get sick and so that we don't get injured. What are you talking about? Our body still gets sick, but my soul never gets sick. Oh, come on, praise his name. I may get injured in this body, but my soul's not injured. Oh, praise his name. I got a message to let people know. Oh, come on and say it. I heard a woman talking one day. She was telling another lady. She said, you can tell a lot about a man by looking at his shoes. If he don't wear good shoes, you know something ain't right. If he don't wear work shoes, he don't have a job. I'm gonna praise his name. If he don't wear church shoes, then he don't know the Lord. I'm gonna praise his name. And so what it tells me is that you can tell a lot about me, not because I got on Crocs, but because I got a pair of shoes that didn't come from here. I got a pair of shoes that came from heaven that my Father said, I fitted your feet and you can wear these shoes. Can't you walk in my shoes? I don't want to walk in your shoes, but I want to walk in the shoes of the one that came before me. The Bible says that John the Baptist said, I see the Lamb of God. He's coming after me. He'll baptize you in the Spirit and with fire in the Holy Ghost. Whose shoes in the latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose. You see, you got to realize that there's a walk that he intends for you to walk, but you got to have your shoes on. Can you get up now and go home? I want to show you more. The Bible says that he told them not only to restore them, because you know when you restore something, as we said in time past, when you restore something, you don't get put it back in the same value. If you get your car that was a 64 Chevy, you bought it for $500 in 1964. Here it is in 2013. You put new seats in it. You gave it a paint job. Put you some gold Dayton's on it, or some choppers or whatever. Put you some nice nice rims and you got a good motor underneath it, take it to California and it's worth more than 500. Now it's worth 10,000. So what happened to it? It was restored. So what I'm saying to you is that when God restores you, you're not worth the 500. You're not worth what you used to. I'm worth more. So when you get back home, you're worth more than you was before you left. You're worth more than you was before the trouble. You're worth more than you was before the sickness. How you're worth more after the sickness than you was before the sickness. The sickness left you weak. The sickness left you maimed. The sickness left you hurt. Oh, come on, praise his name. The reason I'm worth more after my sickness is because I got a testimony that God is able. I got a testimony. I got a rich word to let you know that God can and God will. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I said, I got a testimony why you're worth more before you got married or before you got divorced to after you got divorced. You can let somebody know. Oh, come on, praise his name, that I've been through some stuff, but I still lift my hands. I've been through trials, and I'm still here to say, ain't he all right? Why am I worth more after they lied on me, after they talked about me, after they put me down and I was so level to the ground? Why am I worth more? Because when I come through it, I can honestly say that he'll pick you up through if he have to reach way down. Anybody here? Anybody here can say I'm worth more after they lied on me? I'm worth more after they talked about me. I'm worth more after I was sick. I'm worth more after I've been through hell, after I lost my money, after. I'm worth more. So he restored him. But then after, let's look at the whole thing. I told you I wasn't going to have time. But when we look at after, after he restored him, he said, get the fatted calf. You got to understand that this calf, it was a fatted calf. In other words, this calf ate the best stuff. This calf had its own stall. This calf was the king of calves because he ate the best and had the best, had his own personal person that feed it. Oh yeah, this calf was being fatted up for a special occasion. This calf wasn't loose out in the field. This calf was given the best stuff. And so this calf, he said, go get the fatted calf. Ain't but one calf that was treated like that. Ain't but one calf that's worth the celebration. When we look at the restoration, there is a celebration. So he took the calf. He said, kill it. In other words, sacrifice it. It's time to sacrifice the fatted calf. I love the calf, but the calf gotta go because my son is home. He said, my son, which was dead, now he lives. My son, which was lost, now he's found. Kill the fatted calf. It's time to celebrate. Oh, praise his name. The Bible says that they killed the calf, and he invited people. He invited everybody to come with the calf. You see, Jewish people, they didn't just waste stuff. Jewish people, they said, we only need to kill a lamb and eat an apple. The Bible says in Exodus, it said, kill a lamb. It said, if it's too much, let the neighbors come eat with you. Don't throw nothing away. Jewish people didn't believe in throwing it away. So when he killed the calf, he said, come in, neighbors. I got something to tell ya. My son who was dead, he now lives. Will you come eat with me? Can I get somebody? You gotta realize something. The Bible don't say it, but can I use my imagination? The same folks that say that boy done gone. The same folks that say he lost his mind. The same folks that said he's no good. The same folks that say he made a fool out of him. The same folks that talked about his son. He said, come see. My son is back home. Do I have a witness? Y'all don't hear me. There are some folks that said about you that your children ain't nothing. Your child can't do this, and your child is a prodigal, that he's a wasteful son. But you need to invite him so you can come to the party. We're celebrating. What's the celebration? My son who you said was dead, I found out he's alive. My son you said was lost, I believe God has found him. Say yes.